Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
All right, here we are. Special dinner table, dining room edition.
In person
edition of Advantage Connors, coming to you as always, your co-host Brett and Jimmy Connors. What's up, Pops?
Yeah, it's about time you got up here.
Got some eye contact.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, but there's a good reason.
I like it.
You're going on a little trip, and we get to babysit Isabella, your golden doodle, for quite a bit of time now. So it's a good reason for you to come up, drop her off with us, and also do a podcast. So perfect timing.
Exactly. Yep. We're going on a little vacation. Grandparents' activities, duties are now engaged.
Yep.
So a lot of pressure on you guys. We'll be calling, FaceTiming, looking for updates, you know.
You better. But it's good. I note for our listeners, we have a little mini schnauzer, Bogey.
Mm-hmm.
That's
her big brother.
Bella's big brother. But they get along so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for Bella to come up because she has some room to run and to not go. You're living in L.A. It's you got to be with her all the time. But she goes out and runs in the yard with Bogey and gets her exercise. And at the end of the day, you think, well, oh no, another puppy. And like at one time we had six dogs anyway. But at the end of the day, they're both exhausted. Which is good because after running and trying to keep up with them, so am I. But it's good.
Fun. She loves it up here. She goes hard, and it's good for both of them, I think, to socialize a little bit because they're on their own a lot. Back in the day, you guys used to have five dogs. I'd bring Bentley, my mini schnauzer, up.
Right.
We're a big mini schnauzer family
going back
multiple generations. Little less energy. So now when they come together, it's great because they like to chase each other. They get the zoomies, and they go on squirrel patrol.
We're happy she's up here. And you don't have to worry. We'll take good care of her. You know that.
Well, I'm not worried about that, but I am worried about my 8 a.m. flight tomorrow on a Boeing airline. I know we've been talking about it a little bit for
a couple
weeks.
You'll be fine.
Okay.
You got to get on flying is you're stressed out enough when you fly anyway, and don't get on and worry about that. You get on and enjoy your flight, and you're going to have a good time away. So don't let that interfere.
Right. Yeah. Melina's just been watching every Boeing video on Instagram, and I'm looking over at her like, what are you doing?
Right.
Quit
pushing it.
You already have a little OCD, and now you're making it worse with this anxiety.
Oh no. But there is a rule. You know the rule. When you and your sister, whenever you go anyplace, you've got the code word.
Right.
Every day you got to just
gotta
make
call.
Sure you got or text and make sure that code word is in there, just so we know you're okay.
Yeah.
And, it's funny, Brett. Your sister is almost 40, and you're going to be 45, and still, it just it never gets out of a parent's head. The way you still look at your kids as being kids. And growing up, and it's time for you and your sister to start taking care of me and your mom a little bit, which you do.
Mm-hmm.
But the worry never ends.
No. Do you remember what the old school version of the code word was because I was old, a little older than Aubrey. So when I would get places, it wasn't a text, we'd have, or even a cell phone.
No.
You'd have to hit 0 and then 1 and the area code and number, and you'd say, collect call.
Oh yeah,
from Brett Connors.
Collect. Now you're going way back. Now you're going back, and then they came out,
calling cards.
Calling cards.
Yeah, I remember that. We had one.
And all that, but there's nothing like the cell phone with the text and email and everything that you can stay in touch with now. And I'm holding you to that
all
every
right.
day.
Got
to do it
every day. A new one. a new code word sent. All right, let's. I don't want to stay too long because we actually haven't even started packing.
So oh boy.
We have to get in the car, head back down to LA, and pack. But let's talk a little tennis before we move on to the golf because we got to wrap up some good golf stuff. The tennis, I think, is a little interesting. Monte Carlo.
Yep.
Kind of a surprise winner, in a way, but not in another way. Three-time champion Stefanos Tsitsipas. Had taken some heat, and you know, play hadn't been so good the last, you know, year maybe. Had fallen out of the top 10 along with Demi. We had talked about no one-handed backhands in the top 10 anymore for the first time in, you know, years and years. And so Steph comes through, wins his third Monte Carlo title, beats Casper Ruud in the final. And then now both those guys have continued the hot play there. We're recording this Saturday a little later in the week than normal. It'll come out tomorrow morning before the final, but now they're both playing again in Barcelona.
Wow.
And so I saw this stat. This was kind of interesting. One of these things will have to happen tomorrow. Ruud either wins his first title above 250 level. So he's like the king of the 250s, right, kind of. Or Tsitsipas wins his first ATP 500 title, which he's 0-10. Which is kind of weird because he's made finals of Grand Slams, you know,
and won 1,000.
The ATP Finals. Right. He's won three Monte Carlos. So I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you think happens there?
Well, I think when you get on a roll, you can go through the downtime, and you can get criticized for it, which he has been. Anybody who is in sports knows that when you're expected to be at the top. And to play a certain way all the time when you're not playing like that, the first thing everybody wants to do is criticize and say you're finished.
Right.
Right. So, the way he has fought back and to win in Monte Carlo and now to be in another final right after that, you know, the second tournament in a row back to back means his confidence is back and he's feeling good about his game. But this is sweet. I always loved it when they kind of got on me a little bit when I wasn't winning, because then when you come back, you got, you know, tennis always gets the last word because eventually you get a little older and you retire and they get the last word by saying, get out.
Right.
But
somewhere along the way, get your get backs.
Yeah. You get a little satisfaction along the way too. And I think he's feeling that. You know, so for him to get in and to ride that, he should ride that right into the French. You know, don't overplay. You know, stay in shape, take care of yourself, don't go in injured. You know, try to do everything you can, you know, to be prepared for the French. Because let's face it, I mean, you can win the 1,000s, the 500s.
But
winning the slams it would be extra special, especially for him, because does he have one? No, he doesn't.
He's
no,
been
he doesn't.
To multiple finals.
Multiple finals, yeah. Right.
Yeah, let's see. He's made the French final and Australian final, and he's made four other Grand Slam semis at a mix of both of those. That's the thing about him is...
He's got a one-handed backhand.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's...
A good one.
Yeah, a good one is right.
I mean, he's good on clay. Like, clay is almost, in a way, his best surface. But then when you see his style, where he's got a good serve, a big forehand, really good hands at net a lot of times, because he's always trying to move forward, it feels like, even if he fails on an attempt, he keeps coming. You know, I feel like he's not one of those guys who gets discouraged if he gets passed a couple times. So you think he would translate better to Wimbledon. But Wimbledon, he's not been that good. Fourth round's his best. Twice he's done it. Other times he's lost first round, three times in the third round. So, you know, he kind of has that unlocked potential there. And then hard courts, you know, he's good. Indoors, right. He's good. So he's kind of an all-court player, you know. So you're kind of waiting, like thinking this guy has Grand Slam, you know, potential.
Yeah.
You know, so for him to fall out of the top 10 doesn't seem right. You know, it seems like that was something wrong. And then also, I think you can speak a little bit about this. He's gotten into a, you know, highly publicized relationship with Paula Badosa, you know, and she's been hurt and he's had his, you know, stuff, so that some of the criticism might have been, you know, directed at that as he distracted maybe or whatever. But I think it's good to see him back in the top 10 because he's such a good personality and he's got such a good game.
Yeah, I agree with his game. He's and he's proven, like I said, sometimes you have a little fall off that cliff a little bit, but it's the climb back is hard work, but once you get back there, the feeling of accomplishment is pretty good. If you get in a real, listen, you know, life is life, and we've talked about this too. There's more going on a daily basis than just playing tennis. But you got to remember that that is your life at this time. That doesn't go forever, you know. So to try to keep your mind on your business, and you know, relationships are important, family's important, you know. And I keep going back to, you know, with your mom when you came along. I mean, the struggle of feeling. You know, when I was with my family, was I sliding tennis? Or when right. I was on the road with the tennis, I was sliding my family. You got to adjust, mm-hmm. you know, to that. And it's not physical in the game, it's your mind, you know, and how you accept that within yourself. And you know, he'll get that straight. It seems like he's got it straightened out now,
right.
You know, with his success the last couple of weeks. But you're right. I mean, you know, why hasn't he been successful at Wimbledon? I mean, he's a good clay court player. He's a good hard court player. He's proven
good indoors.
Indoors, and so you know, grass outside of just the movement. I think. I mean, outside of that, the bounce and everything is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, so but you know, maybe it's that confidence that he has now. Maybe that's just gonna, you know, flow into everything for the, you know, for the next time, next bit of time that he's out there grinding. And listen, I like seeing comebacks like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that because it shows, you know, that he wasn't afraid to work, you know, and put in the time and do what it has taken him, you know, to get back on top. You know, and he's back in the top 10. What is he?
Seven in the live rankings right now.
Seven.
So, yep. And Demi is at 10. So now both guys, one-handers back in there. Well, representation, 20%. It's good. The other thing, Casper Ruud, to be honest, I think he's kind of needed this last couple weeks too. I think he might have even fallen out of the top 10. And, you know, now, you know, clay's his game. That's his bag.
Yeah, you know.
You
yeah, I mean, I like his game, you know. And he's you know, these guys are still young too. You got to remember that you know, they're still in their 20s, some are their early 20s, and you know, so their abilities to stay around and to be a big part of this game now is important. It's their time,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I mean, it's, you know, I look back and, you know, taking advantage of it when you can, because all athletes think that it never ends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to keep going and going.
There'll be another season.
Right, and yeah. another tournament and another chance and oops.
Right.
You know, that, you know, that things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, injuries happen and mindsets and change of life. And a lot of things can happen that take you away from that. So, you know, when you have the opportunity, jump on it and take advantage of it.
Yeah, well said. They're 6 and 7. Ruud 6, Tsitsi 7. They're both 25 years old, so a lot of similarities, kind of a little bit. Yeah, and Casper made 3 finals. It was back-to-back Frenches, and then he made that U.S. Open where he had chances to beat Carlos, and Carlos got his
right. Yeah.
First major. So, you know, I think it's also one of those things, too, where you get close, and you have, like with Tsitsi, you had that 2 sets to love against Rafa almost three years ago in the French final. And then you get close, you think you're going to win or you have a chance to win, and then you don't. It might take a little while. There might be a little hangover there or a little – you get down or, you know, who knows.
Well, sometimes you get that finishing second syndrome.
Right.
You know that, well, I'm here. I'm in the finals. Is that good enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, if you're there –
might as well win.
Yeah, you might as well win.
Yeah.
And do whatever it takes. And, you know, and to get there, obviously – you're playing some great tennis to have gone through your part of the draw and to have had to have a chance to win a Grand Slam. And I've been there myself. I mean, to the point where, you know, all of a sudden you're in a final and you know, oh, I've lost a few. Oops, you know, what do I do to get out of this? You know, and how can I get out of it? You know, I'm going to have to, you know, figure out something, you know, within myself, because, you know, you're playing against your opponent. He's doing everything he can to kick your ass too.
Right.
You know, which makes it good. But, you know, sometimes you know, you got to bluff yourself and say,
yeah.
You know, and try to rise to another level.
Well, one of them's going to get their first 500 level title tomorrow. Who do you like? Here's the line. I just looked it up. Tsitsi, they just make a slight fave, -130. Mm. Let's look at the head to head here real quick. It is 4-2 Tsitsipas. Ruud beat him once on clay, once on hard court. No match no match of theirs in the actual tour. They had played ITF F10. They went three, but everything else has gone only straight sets.
Right.
Who do you like?
Well, I'm going to stick with Tsitsipas.
Okay.
I think he's riding a good wave right now, and he's found out how important it is to get back in that saddle and work hard to get where he is now, back into the top 10. And I think the success that he had last week beating Rude in the finals of Monte Carlo is going to carry him through again.
Okay. I like that. I kind of got to go with it. It seems a little like it should be a little more. Like you think Sitsi would be a little bigger fave than -130. So I get my hair goes up a little bit, like my little trap hair.
Your gambling senses.
my spidey sense. But like Tsitsi saved match points earlier in the tournament. You were almost thinking like, is he prone maybe for an upset just because, you know, long run, emotional high, because he was really emotional on court afterwards. But he was able to come through that match, I think save, you know, three or four match points at least. I think it's going to be a good match. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And leading up to the French, guys are kind of jockeying for position a little bit here, you know, trying to get their game in order. They've come now from the hard courts in Indian Wells and Miami over to the clay, Monte Carlo, now Barcelona,
Madrid next week.
Yeah. And then Rome. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, working their way into clay court. Mm-hmm.
Shape.
Yeah. couldn't quite think of that word. Thank you.
Nice.
I'm so glad we're in person. You can read my mind. There was nothing there.
It is fun. I mean, like working, like just coming off, we did five straight days of T2 and second serve on T2, which has been getting a lot of traction. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of our Manning cast where we have guests on. We had Reggie Bush yesterday, the NFLer, former Miami Dolphin. Had to say shout out for your 2 years on the Fins. Thank you for your service. But it's long. Man, the matches are grindy. I mean, they're 2.5, 3 hours, and it's like a different, even in between points, it's more like, hey, man, we're going to be here. You know, almost like they allow them a couple extra seconds to towel off, and they're just like, they're not in a rush to start that next point because they know it could be a 40-ball rally, you know?
Yeah, the clay's a different mindset, and that was always a struggle for me. When the clay court season was in the United States back in the 70s, you know, the clay was a lot different than it was in Europe. In Europe, it was the red clay, the terre battue, and
the brick. It's like crushed brick,
right? Yeah. And the balls were very heavy. And you know, over here in the States, the courts were a little faster, the balls were faster. Mm-hmm. So you know, my mindset playing on the clay in the United States wasn't such a big change. In Europe, oh my God.
Right.
Mr. Lacoste, Rene Lacoste, who invented the racket I played with, the T2000, always told me, he says, Jimmy, you don't have to hit so close to the line on the clay in Europe.
On the clay, right.
In Europe. Mm-hmm. And I said, but that's my game. You know, and even he had to, you know, admit to that. That says, you know, if you could just change that mindset a little bit. And I said, too late.
Too late. Tough. It's fun though, because the cities you go to are like some of the best cities. Like, I love Barcelona; it's awesome. Monte Carlo, I've never been to, but it looks fun. Madrid, Rome, you know, even like Munich and some of these other smaller cities are pretty sweet. So, all right, let's move on to the golf. Let's just wrap up the Masters, which was a good week. We talked about it, Scottie Scheffler. No one likes to bet a favorite, but if you were smart, you would have.
Yep.
And you would have taken those 5-1 odds and run with them as he wins a 4-stroke victory, 11 under, over our guy that we've been touting for a while now. We've had the Swedish connection back home with Melina and her pops. Ronnie has been talking to me a lot about Ludvig Åberg. Trying to pronounce it correctly. Åberg.
Right. We should get Malin on and have her pronounce it for us.
Ludvig Åberg.
He was 4 strokes back, his first time ever playing the Masters. Man, is he going to be good. I really like watching him.
I think he's good right now.
Yeah, he's already good.
He's already unbelievable. And he's won a couple tournaments already. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finishing second in his first Masters is pretty special. But Scottie Scheffler, he just goes about his business.
Yeah.
You know, he looks unflappable, very calm, collected. You know, he dances around in his routine, and after he hits the shot, his feet, the way he
the
moves,
thing with the foot is crazy to me.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But it works for him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wish I could know what it is that he's doing. Like, it must benefit him in some way. Like,
right.
Whatever it's doing. But the thing that he is crazy is that he's consistent with it.
Because
it seems like it's something that could slip or not be hard to be consistent with. You know, like you're just sliding it through and it's never the same ground that you're standing on and, elevated.
Don't tell me that. I'll be trying that. I'll come off with a broken ankle or something. But he is, and what I liked about watching that is, a lot of the guys backed up. They were six, seven, eight under, whatever.
Bryson, 7 under right out the gate. Finishes 2 under. Didn't have another really good round.
But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He'd hit a struggle. He'd make a bogey or a double. Come back and boom, 2 birdies in a row. And
yep.
He just takes care of his business. And I like that. The Oberg is the same.
Yep.
Tennis is for me. I mean, I was hyper and crazy and losing my mind. And
mm-hmm.
These guys in golf, they get a bad. They just just go find it.
Yep.
Hit it. And,
go find it. And hit it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always crazy to think because I've been to Sweden mm-hmm. in the winter.
Oh yeah.
It's not easy to go play golf every day.
No.
So like to come out of that part of the world, like Hovland.
Right.
The guys from cold, like these Nordic countries where it's like, only light for 5 or 6 hours and it's, really cold and snows all the time. Like crazy how hard they must work. Couple Cal kids, Max Homa and Morikawa there.
Yeah.
They tied for third. Fleetwood, your guy.
Yeah, I think
you mentioned his name. You always mention him. I know you like him. DeChambeau, our guy Zalatoris, shot 3 under last day. He kind of had bookends. He had a good first round, I feel like, and then a good fourth round.
Xander Schauffele, I like him.
Schauffele, -1.
He always seems to, when the big tournaments come, or really any tournament, that he always seems to
always
be up
in
there.
Yeah, always. He's the guy who won the gold, right? Didn't he win the gold?
Hold on. I'm having a mind lapse. I think you're right.
Yeah, yep. Xander Schauffele. Remember, he's the guy who beat Sabo when I had the
bet. Oh, that's right.
When I had the bet, 150-1
on buddy.
Sabo.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was kind of like you could see it, though. It was like Ludwig was like making a charge, and then he was up there, and you're like, he was right there with him, but mm-hmm. you knew Scheffler had all those birdieable holes
right.
still ahead of him, So it was kind of, you knew it was coming, but I got in a pool with my buddy Lee Sanudo, sent me a pool, right? You pick 8 guys or something, mm-hmm. you keep your best 4 scores. And I had Scheffler and Oberg. So I went 1-2,
right.
And I didn't make any money.
And
somehow.
You made nothing. I told you to watch out for those.
Yeah.
I told you to watch out for that.
I had Zalatoris and Cameron Young were the other 2 guys, I think. And then Cameron Young was tied for 9th. Zalatoris was also tied for 9th. So I don't know.
we've talked about the guys, but we got to, just segue right into Nelly Korda.
Yep.
I mean, how can you not talk about the success that she's having now?
She's ridiculous.
But her swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you came up with that and said you got to watch her swing. I mean, and it's mesmerizing.
It's so simple.
It's how simple it is.
It feels like it's a little bit like Oberg's. I feel like we're Oberg. I mean, it's obviously different,
right.
But like very simple. Like not a lot of like
nothing
movement.
To, yeah, boy.
Not past parallel, just like far enough back, and
they get so much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Distance and direction and wow. I mean, but I think she's going. She's won 4 in a row.
She's won 4 of her starts in a row.
Of her starts in a row, right.
So I think she took a little break after one event. But either way, she's teed it up the last 4 times. She's won.
And mm-hmm. and now they're playing their first major, the women, it's the Chevron.
Is that what it is?
And I think it's in Houston. I haven't tuned it in quite yet today to see, but I think she's at the top of the leaderboard there also.
Let's see. I'm looking it up right here. This will be obviously dated, but it is... She's 1 back. She's a 3rd, and there's 2 people ahead of her. She's 7 under, 2 people ahead of her at 8 under.
Wow.
So she's right there.
Wow.
She's just like, she's just the best female player in the world. And her sister is a really good player. I think she stopped a little bit to have a kid.
Yep.
I think she had a child. And then her brother, Sebastian, Sebi, plays on the tour.
The tennis tour.
The tennis tour, right. Yeah. We talked about him. waiting for him to kind of have his breakthrough. We know he has a lot of potential. He's had a lot of health issues over the last 2 or 3 years. Every time he gets healthy, kind of starts to make a run, and then something comes up. So hopefully he can, stay healthy and keep it going.
Well, that's a very athletic family, you'd have to
you
say.
You think?
I have to say that the success they've had both. I mean, it's interesting that that the girls went to golf and
you know what I think it is? Someone took very good advantage of the IMG Academy. I think they all went to the IMG Academy when they were young. You know what I'm saying? Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
And they could all hang out together.
Right. Yeah. And like that's like a – because then all the talent, all young talent comes there and they get to compete against each other, mm-hmm. which is like something if you're growing up wherever you are in the world and you're small little area, the talent's not going to be as good as in these areas where they kind of can –
It's fun to watch her, and another thing, she's unflappable too. If you look at those that are on top, men and women. But most of them are unflappable because you have to be.
You
can't let your emotions
there.
Really, come and take over. But she just goes on about her business too, and they all try to do that. To go on about their business. But, sometimes, they get lost along the way. But to keep that, and Scheffler's the same way now.
It's true.
To keep that going, week after week after, and if you don't win, you're still in the, the top five and producing the kind of golf or tennis that you're expected to show every week you go out there.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. She's only 25. She's already won 17 times. Her pops, Peter Korda, was on tour, and her sister's Jessica Korda.
Right.
So, I think her mom played something. I'm not sure if she was like an Olympic athlete or she played on tours or something, but I know her mom's an athlete also. So, everyone there is staying in shape, hitting the gym every day.
Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing is right.
The best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. So don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And also, Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. That's according to an Indeed recent survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is everything's in one spot. I know I always say this, but it's true. They have everything you need if you need to hire good people fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. So join the 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And here's my favorite part, guys. Listeners of this show, Advantage Connors, get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job more visibility at Indeed.com/Connors. That's right. Just go to Indeed.com/Connors right now and support our show, Advantage Connors, by saying you heard it here. It really helps us out. Indeed.com/Connors. Of course, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide.
All right, let's move on to some gambling topics. Did you see this story in the NBA? Jonte Porter receives NBA lifetime ban over gambling. The Raptors forward has a lifetime ban by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more of games for betting purposes and betting on NBA games. You see this?
Nothing like being on the inside.
Yep. These bets ranged in size. This is the best part to me. These bets ranged in size from $15.
Ah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
He's missing a few zeros.
Well, if you're going to do it, because a $15 bet's getting you popped. So why not bet $1 trillion if you know the outcome's
Go
coming?
Go for it. Go for it.
Go for it. $15 to $22,000 for only a total of $54,000. Total payout from these bets was 76, so he did all this to win 22 grand. And I guess he was doing things like, you know, he'd say, hey, bet on my under and my prop, whatever, rebounding points, whatever they do, you know.
Right.
And then he would like, you know, oh, he'd start to play and then, you know, pull himself out of the game. Because you have to play. If you don't play, it's a do not play. And then the bet gets like no bet. And so he'd just play. And then, you know, after 5 or 10 minutes and missing every shot he tries, he'd, I don't feel good, coach.
Right, yeah, pull me out.
Pull me out.
So, please. So what do you think that is, Brett? Do you think that that's happening now, and because sports gambling is so accessible?
I mean, it's got to be part of the reason, right?
Right.
Just because, I mean, up until whatever a handful of years ago, it was such a taboo topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like even in tennis, it's still pretty taboo to talk about gambling. Even though we've, you know, we do some ads on Tennis Channel and some sponsored segments sometimes with it. It's still kind of like no one really wants to touch it and talk about it too much. And like, I think it was like that with all sports, because you think about how Pete Rose got treated and you know, the Black Sox, you know, back in the 20s and you know, all the times it's come up, you know, the ASU betting scandal, there was a, you know, like there's a ton of them, right?
Right.
But then now once it becomes a sponsor, you know, you start seeing it everywhere, and it, all of a sudden the people everywhere in the league are making money off of gambling.
Right.
So people's losses somewhere are going in their pockets.
Well, the opportunity.
Right. So now it starts to become like, now you're looking at it like, well, it's everywhere. It's on my phone. I have it on an app. It's on my computer. It's anywhere. I can do it.
And you can live bet.
You can live bet.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways you can manipulate it. You know, there's so many ways where you're just like, you don't have to lose the game. Just go three sets.
Right.
Or, you know, like, or whatever it is. And so, yeah, it just, you know, he told, I think, a friend, and his friend was making the bets.
Who told a friend who told a friend.
That's where you messed up. You got to make it at least three or four, you know, steps down the line.
Yeah, you got to get it deep. you know, that's even come around in tennis a little bit. You know, we were just talking about that before we came on. I'm trying to think. It was, I think it was a Spanish player.
Right. Spanish tennis player Aaron Cortez gets a 15-year ban for match fixing.
Yeah, but not from yesterday or 2 weeks ago, from, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Right. He was given a 15-year ban. The International Tennis Integrity Agency said Tuesday 29-year-old Cortez admitted 35 breaches of the anti-tennis corruption program between 2016 and 2018.
Mm.
So not recent.
Yeah.
They waited a while.
That's getting on it.
To get
they wait
on
for
it.
Him to retire, probably.
Exactly, yeah. they waited to stop tailing his bets.
Right.
It added that Cortez had cooperated fully and accepted the sanction, which also included a fine of $75,000, of which $56,000 is suspended. Cortez reached his highest ranking of 955 in 2017 and has been banned from playing.
That says it all right there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, but it's easy, you know, for guys who, you know, as we talked about, and you brought up many times, the top guys are making so much money anyway.
Right.
And
the risk for them to get caught seems like doesn't seem worth it as much, you know. But once you start getting out of those, once you get to a level where you're either breaking even as a pro, or losing money, trying to chase your dream, you can't tell me it's not like crossing people's minds.
Right.
Especially when everyone knows each other and they play together every week and they see each other.
Yeah, everybody, they're all such good friends.
Right. And then you know, the tournament's 25,000 or 50,000, mm-hmm. and you know you can make bets that could win you maybe more than the whole tournament. Winning the whole tournament would be worth.
Right.
I don't know. It's got to be something that's scary as, you know, a sport, all sports, mm-hmm. just because the more it becomes normalized and easier to access, the more tempting it's going to be for everybody.
Yeah, our family's been involved in gambling forever. You know, my grandfather was mayor of East St. Louis back in the 30s and 40s, you know, which is very close to Chicago back in the day. And, you know, with, you know, all, and I've heard stories, you know, about things that happened back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then
the riverboat.
You know, and then I got into gambling and I liked it, you know, and being a part of it, but the wins compared to the losses, you know, you'd lose and you couldn't wait till the next day. You'd be grinding all night in your mind, you know, come on, you know,
right.
Who's playing, you know, give me the USA Today. Let me see all the stats. But if you'd win, it was a 10-second high and it was over.
Right.
Oh, yippee.
You didn't bet enough.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing I always
get. You didn't bet enough.
I'm never happy. When I pick one, I'm stupid. I should have bet more. And then when I lose, it's like, well, whatever. Let me go on to the next one. But as a person who's been on both sides, someone who likes to make a bet, and somebody who was, you know, started the Riverboat Casino with Argosy Gaming, was 30 years ago.
Right.
Isn't it a little easier to take the bet?
Well, you don't have to make the choice. All you do is say, okay.
Yeah, you'd rather be booking the bet, seems like, long term.
There's no tension. And the interesting thing is, Brett, that everybody can, talk, and I've done this in the past. You talk about your wins all the time. Everybody
does.
I had a great week last week.
It's like that on social media. Everybody's right.
We seem to have a brain lapse on the losses.
No, those aren't as fun. But in reality, those are almost more fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Or you make like a terrible bet on something stupid, and you're like, oh my gosh,
Yeah, but I keep going back. I remember my brother, your Uncle John, told me one time, he says, when we were talking about getting into the riverboats, he says, they don't build those big places off of winners.
Right. Of course.
that's kind of an interesting statement. But it's even today, going out and playing, playing golf. I mean, I got to have
a little action,
even if it's just to see the other guy's face when he pays
off. That's the best part, where they have to reach. Reach into the pocket is worth more than the money.
Yeah, sometimes you got alligator arms. They don't quite get deep enough. But
right.
It's interesting to see, how open that's become, the gambling. Things are happening. And they're not afraid to put it out now either.
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because it's at one point you always said that they used to have the little window at Wimbledon on the grounds. You could walk out of the stadium, go get strawberries and cream and make a wager and then get back to your seat, before the next changeover.
They did one year. It didn't last very long.
Oh, that's what it was, one year.
Yeah, it was one year. We
got to look in. Anyone out there know which that year is? Hit us up and let us know.
It was, a lot of the guys would look and see who was playing who.
Mm-hmm. Or who they just saw injured in the locker room as they walked out to the practice court.
I was never a part of that.
Well, that's funny. But, the one thing I would be scared about all the leagues is like the people who are towards the end of their careers, just like going down.
Yeah, good point.
What are you going to take from them? The league, like they're gone. They're in their last year or two.
Right.
So once the people at the end of their careers are the ones who are going to be like maybe pushing the boundaries and risking it, because what are you going to do? Take my 1 year left I have away from me?
Reputation.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
That's the one thing I think a lot of the great players in any sport would be thinking about how's that going to affect my reputation, my legacy, or whatever. But I'm interested to read about it, to hear about it, and to pay attention to it.
Yeah,
because
it's fun. Yeah. And it's funny because they get whatever happens, they get what they deserve. Like, because they're bringing in all the money.
Right.
They wanted to legalize it. They can have all the morals and everything, but at the end of the day,
it's all about money.
When it's like sponsored by Superbet and it's bet, and triple bet. And it's just like, dude, careful, Pandora.
Yeah, that's right.
So, what do you want to do? We go a little questions?
Yeah. Fire away.
All right. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Oh yeah. I like this one. Just watched your 74 U.S. Open match with Ken Rosewall. You were fantastic, but I have a question. This is from Brian Abruzzi. But I have a question. You did not have your signature and very audible exhalation on your serve. When did you start doing that and why? Thanks, Jimmy. Huge fan.
Well, I got criticized, Brett, so much for not having a big serve. That, even though a lot of people say, well, he just doesn't work on a serve, I was out working and trying to make it, better and trying to put more effort into it. And also, as I got older, my breathing changed. And that's from your grandfather, who trained me as a boxer.
Right.
That was very important to him. How to breathe, during a point, and how to, to put the effort into it. So sometimes the grunt got a little bit too loud, but what the hell?
I mean, did you ever use it as an intimidation?
Never.
Tactic?
Never did that.
Never.
But it's interesting, playing, a lot of the points that we played back in the day. I mean, after, the eighth, ninth, tenth ball, I mean, even guys who weren't grunting, and breathing that way started. You know, you're putting it, because it takes effort, you know,
when
it helps you, right?
And it helps you to exhale, because then you're getting everything out of it. If you're on an in breath or something, then it's
you're almost pulling back as you're inhaling, and you know, when you're exhaling, you're
getting everything out, pushing it away almost,
right? But you know, that's kind of, you know, what happened with that. But you know, and also, you know, my serve improved a little bit. I was never going to have a big serve. I wasn't 6'2", and you know, it worked good enough for me. And you know, if my serve would have been something exceptional, maybe the rest of my game wouldn't have been what it was. So,
right. I always wonder that too with people who have huge serves, and they're able to like get by, you know, as a junior, because like they're just blowing guys away, holding serve, you know, like, and then later in their career, is it like they don't, maybe don't have as good a backhand because they didn't need to have one until a certain level.
Right.
They got certain age.
You got to work the whole thing.
Right.
You know.
All right. King Arthur King, your buddy. Yep. Are you still having cold showers? As the gas is off here at the polo grounds, I may have to take a cold shower or two.
Do it. It'll revive you. Yeah, but it's interesting that for a while, I think we talked about this, I was going to the cryo treatments. And I like that. But, you know, 200 below got a little chilly.
A little too much.
A little too much. So, you know, during this time when the sun's not out, you know, our pool's not heated here. So it gets down to 65. So, you know, I'll go and sit in my pool.
Jump in the pool.
And then take a jacuzzi right after that. And I'll tell you, my aches and pains are better. I've gotten into some other things too that I don't want to talk about now, but down the road, I've got some interesting things that I talk to you about with some aches and pains.
All right, we'll get into it.
But right now I'm still doing you know, the sitting in a cold pool. 65 is about as good as I can handle right now. But,
okay, that's good.
But
you can do it for a couple minutes.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and you know, we talked about you know, last week when we were by ourselves, and Melina was in Sweden, and your mom was down at a dance competition, and you know, before she left for that, I was getting her in the pool too, you know, and she kept telling me that she goes, geez, you know, my knee's a little sore. And 3 years ago, she had her right knee replaced. And she goes, no, not that one, my left one.
Oh, no.
And I said, well, get in here you know, do this and start feeling better. And then she goes down to her dance competition and does really, really well on Wednesday and Thursday. Wakes up on Friday and couldn't move. Had to pull out of her competition. So she comes home and we set up an MRI. She goes and gets an MRI. She needs a knee replacement and a hip replacement.
God.
And so I'm going, what the hell? You know, what you know, does it run in the family?
Right.
What's going on here?
Yeah. What are you guys doing?
So we're going to have to stop this so you and your sister don't get this.
I know.
But it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you think maybe because when she had her other one?
Exactly right.
She favors and then all the weight goes on the other side and it wears it out a little.
Yep. And you know, subconsciously, you know, when she was dancing, the way she put the pressure on her her good leg
right.
you know, at the time
and
all that. So, but I've never heard that, you know, a hip and a knee at the same time on the same side.
Ugh.
You know, so I've got my Nurse Betty uniform back.
You're going to love that.
For the next 7 or 8 months, it's going to be crazy.
Well, she did it for you. So,
yeah,
you
she
know.
Did. She took good care of me.
You got to return it. All right, here, we got a listener question. We put up, hey, if you pick the Masters winner on your Facebook wall, this is why it's good to interact with us on our Facebook. Will Roth, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, sent us this question from Will. All right, let's play it here.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Brett. Thanks for taking my question. Really appreciate the work you guys are doing on the podcast. And Jimmy, I really love those Connor's Kitchens, man. Those are some entertaining segments. So I hope you keep those going, especially when you mix them in with some nice ice cold beer. So my question for you, Jimmy, in honor of Mother's Day being around the corner, can you explain to us, you know, not only the impact that your mother had on your professional career, but what was the impact and some of the values she gave you in becoming the family man that you are today? You seem so approachable and down to earth. Just explain to us what she really meant to you and the impact that she had on your life. Just wanted to pose that question in honor of all the mothers out there. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. And keep up the great work.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, that's special.
That's a good question.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's no secret. Going back to my mom, you know, and my grandmother, and, you know, they gave me everything. Yeah, not only did my mom give me life, they gave me this life, you know, with the opportunity to, you know, to work at something, to, you know, to get involved in tennis and to know what it meant to, you know, to have discipline and to train and to work hard and to, you know, overcome obstacles and, you know, try to get better and deal with, you know, the defeat and then what it would take to, you know, to try to overcome that and to be a winner, you know, and, you know, that kind of, what she installed in me, you know, with my attitude, you know, came from my grandfather too, with the boxing, you know,
he had given that to her too.
Right.
You know, that came from him,
right,
through her.
Right. I mean, she, and she picked up on it, you know, and understood that, mm-hmm. You know, and back then being taught by a woman, you know, was taboo, right. You know, which is, you know, and she got criticized for that and, you know, which, you know, she never let that bother, you know, and me seeing that in the way she handled that, the criticism and what it meant to her to say that, listen, you know, this is my son. I'm handling him the way I want to handle him. I'm not being told what to do. I mean, she
by
fought
a man too, probably.
Yeah, right.
Probably a bunch of men being
by
like,
all
you should
men.
Do this. It should be that.
Right.
You're wrong.
Right, but the reputation, you know, that I had back then. I mean, she gave me my game and my attitude. She didn't give me this attitude. You know, I kind of mixed that into my own.
Right.
But you know, which was kind of good because, you know, when I was playing, you know, my reputation on the court, even though that wasn't me off the court, you know, kind of kept people at arm's length, you know, from me you know, which at times was good. But my mom always told me, she goes, the bigger you become, the more humble you'll be. And I mean, I don't talk even today. I don't talk about my tennis. I don't talk about what I did 40 years ago. You know, if I have to talk about it, it means I didn't do it very good. That's the way I always looked at it. And so, you know, for people to remember, you know, 1974 or, you know, when I first came in and first made my, you know, my big splash on, you know, onto the Pro Tour, or 1991 when I was leaving and, you know, had a good run at the U.S. Open, you know, that's been 30, 40, 50 years ago, Brad. And for fans and people to still talk about that and remember, that's all I need. You know, but, you know, going back to my mom coming up on Mother's Day, she gave me this life.
Yeah. I feel like she was good at taking the criticism and like channeling it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that just
like,
made her work harder.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it almost was like a good thing in a way, where like somehow that was like fueling the whole thing. And, you know, oh, you doubt me, you know,
right,
what I mean? And then to probably sit there in the stands and to beat, like, you know, watch you beat other boys or men coached by men who probably all told her along the way that she was wrong or should do it different or all that, must have been so satisfying.
Right. And the game she taught me,
yeah,
you know, she taught me her game, which was a ladies' game.
Right.
You know, very, very simple, very straight back, straightforward, you know, no excess energy, just, you know, just the basics,
mm-hmm.
You know, and once you learn the basics, then she taught something that wasn't really back then. It was called take the ball on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it early. Now everybody's an expert on that, you know, now. But she, when she taught me that, that changed everything,
mm-hmm.
in my game. And then when she handed me off to Pancho Segura,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the way he played too.
And she was smart enough to hand you off instead of just keep you be like, oh no, he's mine, or try and, you know, stunt your growth.
That was her biggest, let me think of the right word. That was the best thing that she knew about herself is she knew how far she could take me.
Yeah. She knew her own limitations.
Coming up with the right words. Thank you.
Yeah.
But she knew how far she could take me. And after a certain point, she told Pancho, she goes, don't touch his game. He's got his game. I want you to give him everything else, you know, and improve on what he has. So basically improving my tennis was one of his main concerns, but my mind,
attitude
and my attitude and the way I approached things on the court and off the court and how I dealt with things. You know, I needed that male influence on a lot of things. But that was her greatest attribute that she knew when, you know, kind of when to let go a little bit.
Right. And crazy to think, I know we've said it before, that you said that those two people are the people who love tennis the most that you've ever met.
Ever.
And then think about how lucky you are that those were your two coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, most people are going to meet someone who loves tennis along the way and you'd be like, man, I wish that guy was my coach. And right. You like had both of them.
You know, I'd go back to visit your grandma and, you know, every TV in the house would
on tennis.
Have tennis on.
Yeah.
You know, and the same with Pancho. We go to visit Pancho. If he wasn't at the tournament live and in person, you know, every TV.
Live commentating it from the stands. Yeah, from the stands.
Oh, my. It was, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I've never seen two people that, you know, were, you know, had such a feeling for the game as the two of them. And you're right, they both coached me.
Yep, that's pretty good. I think that's a good place to stop, Pops. That was a good question. Thank you, Will, for sending that in.
Perfect.
We'll try and do some more of that to get some more interaction with the listeners. We love you guys, and you know, everything you guys bring to the show is great.
Yeah, you know, another thing that they can do?
Tell me.
They can follow me at Jimmy Connors on Twitter. You at Brett_Connors on Twitter. Follow our podcast at ADV Connors.
Mm-hmm.
That's Advantage
right.
Connors.
Yeah.
And keep the questions coming, and we love hearing from you and you being a part of what we do. We like hearing what's on your mind, and never fear, we'll have something to say about it.
Right. Yep. Don't forget to follow at Gold Dude Isabella, because she's going to be here with you guys. You guys are going to have to send us pictures. We'll post them. You know, keep everyone updated on
her. You're going to have to teach me how to do that.
No, all you have to do is send a picture to us, and we'll take care of it.
Okay.
All her happenings and goings on at Grandma and Grandpa's. Yep. We love everyone. Leave us questions on his Facebook, and leave us a review. 5-star review would be sweet. Helps us with the algorithm, and let you guys know. Let's us know that you guys are liking what we're doing. So, love you, Pops. Love being in person, and I'll talk to you from the road on the next episode.
Be hearing from you.
Peace.